8:01. This is KBNF Regional News for Wednesday, February 11th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Bureau of Land Management has released the scoping report in preparation for a new environmental review of 65 illegal oil and gas leases on the White River National Forest. 25 of those leases are in the Thompson Divide area. KDNK's January Jones has more.
On Monday, the Bureau of Land Management released a report summarizing public comment they received last spring. The comments are part of an environmental impact statement the BLM is working on for 65 oil and gas leases that have been currently suspended in the White River National Forest. BLM Public Affairs Specialist Courtney Whiteman says they received over 32,000 comments.
We really got a wide range of comments. The highest number of comments on any subject were on the process, so how we conduct the EIS, but there wasn't one subject that really stood out more than the others. There was a wide range, and we do have it broken down in the report, so you can see the exact number of comments on every issue.
Whiteman says the comments will be used, among other things, in developing alternatives that will be proposed in the final environmental impact statement. The current process that the BLM is engaged in will determine if the leases will remain suspended, but the first draft isn't expected until this summer. Whiteman clarifies the difference between the BLM process and the decision made earlier this year by the Forest Service on oil and gas leasing in the White River National Forest.
We originally leased these areas based on a Forest Service EIS that was completed in 1993. It's BLM managed minerals under Forest Service land, and we've decided that we are going to analyze this area again, doing a new EIS. So it's subsurface minerals are managed by the BLM, but the land is managed by the Forest Service. The Forest Service recently completed its own EIS on future leasing in the White River National Forest, so it's not exactly the same as the one we're doing as we're looking at leases that have already been issued. Theirs is going forward.
25 of the 65 leases in question are in Thompson Divide. The report is available on the blm.go/co website. For KDNK, I'm January Jones.
The FCC is poised to make several key decisions regarding how the internet is regulated and delivered. While competition may be a big concern in Washington, even getting internet, or at least high-speed internet, can be an issue on the Western Slope. The town of Ophir is one of the several towns that are trying to fix that. They recently requested matching funds from San Miguel County for a grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. This is town manager Randy Barnes.
It's really difficult to get providers to provide a service in Ophir, in our community in particular, and that's what you see in rural America and rural West. There's just not enough people per mile, so the profit margin isn't worth the investment to these companies. We are taking it upon ourselves to find a way to make this happen, because if we continue to wait, we will continue to wait. Ophir, if you're not familiar with it, doesn't have commercial, you know, so we have to go to Telluride for everything. And we rely on home businesses as well, but not having broadband kind of makes it difficult to do that.
He says the satellite service currently available isn't fast or reliable enough for the town. With the matching money promised from the county, they're planning on submitting the USDA grant application. And finally, schools in Colorado are grappling with how best to discuss the health consequences of marijuana in light of recreational marijuana legalization. As Benta Berkland reports, some school districts are now starting to change how they talk to students about pot.
Like many schools across the state, overall drug incidents at Arapahoe Ridge High School in Boulder have increased since recreational marijuana became legal. While public schools aren't required to separate marijuana incident reporting from other illicit drugs, such as cocaine, evidence compiled by Rocky Mountain PBS iNews suggests more students are using marijuana.
Especially since we use the phrase recreational marijuana. Recreational implies it's fun and it's something you do in your spare time.
Odette Edbrook is the health education coordinator for the Boulder Valley School District. The last upsurge in school drug incidents happened several years ago after medical marijuana exploded. She says changing attitudes around marijuana are sending students a mixed message.
When it's legal for your parents to smoke it or grow it, that changes the conversation.
This year, the school district is bringing in a neuroscientist to talk to health classes about the impacts of marijuana on brain development. Up to this point, the state has used money collected from marijuana taxes to put out a series of ads on the negative impacts of the drug, with mixed success.
Did you know the brain matures until age 25? Using drugs like marijuana before the brain is fully developed can have lifelong negative effects on children.
I feel like in comparison with things like alcohol and cigarettes, marijuana has far fewer long-term side effects.
16-year-old Albert Amaya is a sophomore at Miami Yoder High School east of Colorado Springs. He says the ads he's seen use scare tactics and are ineffective.
I saw one of the smoking commercials, and like this guy couldn't start a barbecue because he was high. That's taking it to the extreme, I think. I don't think that just because you're high that you can't function.
For his classmate, senior Mercedes Weisenbaugh, education campaigns aren't as helpful as her own real-life experiences.
I've seen my family members. I see how lazy they get. I see how unmotivated they get. I see how they're not tuned into reality. They're in a different fog than everybody that does not smoke marijuana.
State officials say the long-term cognitive impacts of regular marijuana use need more research, and they've allocated additional money for those studies. Mike Van Dyke is with the Colorado Department of Public Health and the Environment and is working on marijuana education.
To develop science-based messages that can go into public health campaigns. Marijuana is unique because you have, this is a substance where you have a large community of people that really claim that it has a lot of health benefits. You don't see that with tobacco.
For mother of four, Carol Gibbs, marijuana education in the classroom can help students begin to sort through the confusion.
The messaging that probably I give my son and that I would like the school to pick up on, I would like them to be given better coping skills.
Her youngest son is 16 years old and attends Littleton Public Schools just south of Denver.
When things get tough, I want these kids to have more options than relaxing with a joint or getting lost in their electronic devices.
The Colorado Department of Education did not change its health curriculum guidelines after voters legalized recreational marijuana in 2013. But the state recently awarded grants using marijuana tax revenue to help school districts hire nurses, psychologists, counselors, and social workers. Other states that have legalized recreational marijuana, Oregon, Washington, and Alaska, are also leaving health curriculum decisions up to individual school districts. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
Stay tuned for Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Knapp.